morning we want to continue on in looking at these two areas of fellowship and relationship. I believe they are essential for as our understanding, where we can move with purpose, move with power, because we're going to have to move by faith if we're going to move. But before we really look into those, I'd like to look at another area that affects this, and it's our whole attitude in which we come into these areas of relationship and fellowship. If you might turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read a verse there. We can take some time in going through the whole of scriptures and see that what I'm saying and brought out, and I'm only going to touch on two verses, is consistent with men that have been used of God, men in different workings of the Old Testament, but this one spirit of man, this one expression that's coming through him is evident. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me read two verses for us, starting at 21, reading through 22. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the word, fervently. I know we don't think in this realm too often, but that's what when the fire fell at Pentecost, that's what it was all about. It brought a fervency into our lives, and will continue. It's that burning, it's that working of God in each one of us that is very important. It affects our whole attitude towards each other and the spirit in which we move. Let me read another scripture that's not particularly related to the love, and yet it is, but that there speaking about love one another with a pure heart fervently. Over in James in the 5th chapter, just reading 15 through 16. And the prayer of faith which shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Mm-hmm. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Now here's what we want to look at. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, we come into the area of fervency. This works out in our relationships. You know, whether we're really, as sometimes we speak to each other in the vein, are you on fire? Sometimes we think that's not too scriptural, but that is scriptural. That's this fervency we're talking about. This is this burning that God has placed within our very souls. It's showing forth a warmth in our feelings as we move towards each other. It's intensely devoted to the Lord and to the working of God and to the body of Christ in which we have been brought. Now, I have to look at my own self to evaluate some of these things, and you have to evaluate your own selves. But we are lacking in the fervency. Mm-hmm. We're lacking in the intense devotion to God and what He's doing. Now, what reason there is can be varied. We may not see as clearly. We may not see the importance of it. I find that too many times where we're living kind of divided lives. We have looked at the Lord and we have kind of divided our lives up in segments. We live a divided life, but in God's economy, in what God is doing, there is no divided life. We don't live a natural life some of the time and the spiritual life the other times. When we come into the life of God, our life must be lived on that plane, in that realm, in the Spirit. That means throughout your whole expression. And we need to know this intensity of this love that is burning in our hearts because God has shed it there. And we don't need to cool it down, we need to fan it. There needs to be an intense devotion in what God is doing as we allow it to be expressed and we allow our lives to come in contact with each other. It's not in something that stands off. It's something that has warmth to it in our relationship and in the depths of what God is doing. I feel this has one expression in John when he speaks about the Holy Spirit and fire. Is the fire of God that comes to dwell within us that makes us different than the world and gives us a devotion to God and to His purpose, a willingness to lay down our lives for others. And of course, when we look at this and start to see that, you know, this is the expression. When we talk about prayer, we're talking about fervent, effectual, fervent prayer. We like to pray effective as far as the way we are praying, but to pray fervent with an intense devotion and our relationship to what we're praying for and our relationship to God, many times we're lacking. Now you have to examine yourself. This is not something that we're sitting around here pointing our fingers this morning. We're just bringing this because I feel it's so important to the areas that we're looking at pertaining to relationship and to fellowship. And to divide these two, because there's definitely a division between the two. We've been talking about them for the last 2 weeks now, so it's not something that we're just coming here cold to speak about this. We're coming and desiring God to open up our hearts, I trust, each one of us, to give us more understanding of what it really means as far as our relationship and our fellowship. Many things that enter into it. There has to be a working. There has to be an encounter, and there has to be a giving of God to us if there's going to be an expression of our giving to others. What's coming out of our life? That's what I'm talking about. What's coming out of God to us? Because that's going to affect us. That's going to affect the expression that we give. And your expression is very important. This particular verse in Peter, when you read it, it says, "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Would you say that it was a command? It seemed to be a command that Peter was giving to these believers. Talking about love being given to each other fervently. And as we have already said, it's with intense devotion. A giving of our whole self to God and His purpose. Brings us down to where We have to focus our life. There has to be that which demands all, and God does demand all. There's no playing games with God. You can't just give God what you want to give. In other words, when God comes, He demands all. And of course, He gives all, and this is not something that we lose anything, we gain everything. Now, we know this in theory. I don't know if we are experiencing the fullness of this, but God wants us to experience the fullness of it. So we need to, as we come together, we need to exhort each other and encourage each other to move on in and experience the fullness, not only of the relationship, because it does have a bearing on fellowship. Mm-hmm. Who are we related to? First, we're related to God, which automatically, if we're related to God, He gives us light. We are partakers of something that God has given to us that immediately relates us to each other that have that life. So that's what we're talking when we're talking about relationship. We're talking about really a spiritual. And you must divide the two between natural and spiritual. Remember, if we're not those that come to God and we can live out a divided life. We're those that come, everything now needs to be spiritual. So we need to reflect on this. We need to stay before God until this is clear in our understanding that what we're doing and what we're living and who we are now has changed from a natural, what we can do, the difference between good and evil, partaking of that tree, trying to be a good person, and living out of His life. Living His life. We need to know what that is. And that's what relationship is all about. I'm related to God. I haven't just been adopted, as some would say, and it's a legal transaction. But I've been adopted whereby He's placed His divine nature within me, and the Spirit that comes within me cries, Abba, Father. A true son and daughter of God. Of course, this puts His demands upon us now, because He now has given us something that He can put demands upon. This is not something we're trying to do for God. This is something now that He's doing within us. And so the demands that we might term as something that we have to do now becomes the working of God that moves within us to fulfill the purpose of God. Relationship. Our connection to each other in life. There has to be that connection. I'm sure that we don't think of that all of the time. I'm sure that we look at each other, and whether we believe this or believe that, if we like what each other's doing or what it is, we try to look for something that associates us. We're associated, bottom line, by one thing, life. We may not like what each other's doing right at the moment, but remember, if we have life, God's changing us. So be patient. Glory. Wonderful. What God has done and how He's doing it. But I still come back to the place that, brother, He's dropped fire down in our souls. There is that devotion that's more than emotion. But the fire of God, not only for acceptance, but for expression. The fire needs to be continual. If we look at the Old Testament, we see the fire in the tabernacle there in the holiest of all. It burnt all the time. That fire was not meant to go out. And the fire that lit that fire was fire that not man generated, but God actually lit that fire in the holiest of all. It was fire from heaven. Just like it was when Elijah presented his sacrifice and he prayed, he didn't light the fire. The fire came and consumed the sacrifice. On the day of Pentecost, that same Holy Ghost, the fire from heaven, came to unite us. Give us the fervency we need. And if you don't have fervency in your life, if I might use the expression of the day, we're just a blob. Or at least that's what it seems to me. We need something that's vital. We need something that's fervent. Something that's alive. Right? We need the burning within our very soul for the purpose of God. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, just don't skip over the pure heart, because that's also important. A heart that is pure, a heart that's not divided, a heart that doesn't have its own motives behind it, but a pure heart. One that's willing to serve, one that's willing to give of ourselves to others, asking nothing in return. I know you've heard me say that before, and others have said it. It's not something new. But brothers and sisters, it takes that fervency of devotion. It takes the burning of God to give and give, asking nothing in return. You know yourself, if you do something, you want thanks. But you just keep doing. You keep doing, giving of yourself, asking nothing in return. Doesn't mean that in the family of God that there isn't a return, because if the fire is burning, there is that return. There's that thankful heart. There's that embracing of which our relationship in this one life brings. It brings a pureness of relationship, an openness. John speaks about it in his epistle there when he speaks about walking in the light. Let me just read what another translator says about that. It's very, very interesting. If we are living in the same light in which He eternally exists, then we have true fellowship one with another. We're constantly reaching out for fellowship. We're creatures. We want fellowship. Fellowship. We're not those that we just like to be by ourselves all the time. Now, there may be some that, you know, may get in that and may pull back or something like that. But we're made to have fellowship. When God made Adam in the very beginning, He said He saw his by himself and he needed a helpmate. And so He made somebody that was suitable for him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. So this is what we're talking about. So if we're going to walk in the light, or we're going to live, if we are living, which means a continual experiencing of this same light in which He eternally exists. That's why it says, walk in the light as He is in the light. Jesus Christ was the light. He eternally exists in the light. And if we are living in that light, glory, we have fellowship one with another. This is one of those things that's automatic. That is, if we move in faith. But if we're living in the light, and it's more than just the daylight that we're talking about, we're living in the light of the grace of God. We're living in the light of the abundance of His love, which we are tasting and we're seeing that it's good. Then it goes on to tell us a very unique way of putting it, but I feel it is in keeping with the whole working out. If we're living in this place, and this is the only place that we can know what he's getting ready to translate into the remainder of this verse, and the blood which his Son Jesus shed for us keeps us clean from all sin. Not just cleanse us from unrighteousness, as one says, it does that. But if we're living in the light, then what Jesus Christ did at Calvary by shedding His blood now keeps us clean from all sins. Why? Because we're living in the light. We're not back and forth. We're not living a double life. We're living a life which is His life. I'm afraid that too many times our lives are divided. We're not actively engaged in faith that's living His life. We're not experiencing Him in every situation. This life that He gave to us, eternal life, is something He wants each one of us to experience on a continual, interrupted, not interrupted basis. How can I do it? If you're looking to how you can do it, then you're looking to yourself. Can He do it? Can He put a fervency in you? He did on the day of Pentecost. Down through the ages, you can read about it in different accounts of it, but there was a fervency, there was that burning, that was that fire from heaven that always accompanied what we might term this morning as revival. God's presence, God's working as far as the supernatural was concerned, that fervency that takes and brings us together and holds us together. Without love, we can talk about loving one another, but the fervency of God's love. Love each other fervently. That's going to bring us together. That's going to hold us together. We're going to move as one. You say, what meaning does it have? That the world might know that God has sent His Son. Greatest testimony that God has on the earth today is not our mouths, but the expression that we give as far as our relationship is concerned. He said it Himself. Father, make them one as we are one, that the world might know. And how does He do it? He brings the fire that takes and fuses us together. The fire of His love. You want love that has no fire? In any expression. If you don't have fervency in your love, in your marriage, you don't have love.
Amen.
Not too many amens. But it's true. And it comes right down to our love in God and our love towards each other in the body of Christ. See, we don't look at the same. We don't look at it the same. We don't look at the fervency in the relationship between husband and wife as the same fervency in the burning of God's love. We're talking about purity now in the fervency of God's love towards each other in the body of Christ. We just can't seem to distinguish the two. We seem to be drawn to the other because it's a duty, so to speak. We have committed to that. But beloved, we have also, when we committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have committed to something that is far greater than just an earthly commitment. We have committed for eternity. And what we do now has bearing on eternity. How we live our lives has bearing on eternity. Now, let's look at these things just a little closer if we can this morning. Fellowship. A mutual sharing in the spiritual life. Not just definitions that I've tried to pick out of my mind. These are what I feel are in keeping with the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done. The mutual. In other words, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's a mutual walking. If we're living in the light as He lives for eternity in that light, then the mutual sharing in this spiritual life is what it's all about. If we're not sharing in that, we're not going to have spiritual fellowship. This say what it is, because it's not natural fellowship that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for encouragement. I'm looking for fellowship. Encouragement's one thing. Fellowship is another thing. Now, you may be encouraged in some measure in your fellowship, but fellowship is a mutual sharing in the life of God. Does everybody understand that? From the Scriptures of what we're talking about. If we walk in the Spirit, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship. This is something that is going to transpire because we're living a life that's active. Because you can't be walking and living if you're not doing it actively. You just don't float along. You walk. You're moving in faith. And if you're doing this, you will, it's a positive tense, you will have fellowship. You will enter in with others that are mutually experiencing this life. This doesn't mean that we come together in fellowship and just talk about the Scriptures. This means that we are walking in the light and we are experiencing, we're mutually experiencing God. Those of you that have been in love, that are in love, are those that are looking to be in love. When you walk together, are you looking for a fellowship in words, or are you just to be together? Because you have the same goal in mind. Well, take it to the spiritual level now, quickly. Because that other, unless it's motivated and generated by the Holy Ghost in our lives in a spiritual manner, it's going to be short-lived. The only thing that's going to be eternal is those things that are done in Christ. Those things that have eternal meaning. Those things that we have entered into a fellowship and a relationship. Let's go on quickly, if we can, and we may come back to the fellowship in a minute. But the thing is that a relationship is a connection by life to members of the same spiritual family. We're connected because we have life. We're not connected, and this is very important, because God's changing us as far as our beliefs are concerned. We're coming to that unity of the faith through the provisions that God has given to us. But we are connected by the life that He has given to us in this spiritual family. This is not a natural family. This is a spiritual family. There also is a dealing between each other. And that dealing is in love. When we're talking about relationship, we're talking about our dealing with each other in the body, in the family of God. We're dealing and we're moving within that one realm, which is love. We just don't lay our brains and our consciousness aside. We're conscious of what we're doing. There's something fervent burning within our souls. I mean, when the fire drops into your soul, you'll know it. Right?
Yes.
And all of us might act a little bit different, but there's one thing that's going to be a burning. That's for sure. There's going to be a burning. There's going to be that fervency. Now, you can take all of the different ones on the day of Pentecost, and all of the different personalities, and all of the different dispositions. Brother, when the fire fell, they all looked like they were drunk. They were all moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues. And on that particular occasion, they spoke in other languages. And every man in Jerusalem there that was listening heard them in their own dialect, in their own language. What a miracle. Glory. Wonderful. How God moves. And this was a testimony that went forth. But what I'm talking about this morning, to kind of keep it before our hearts, is there was a fervency. They were not aware of themselves. They were taken up, if I might say it. They were drunk on the Spirit. Paul says this, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled or be controlled by the Spirit. If you're going to get drunk, then get drunk on the Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to keep you in control of in God. But sometimes we enter into these areas and it's only something in our minds that we've read. But that fire must get in our souls. That fire must take and permeate us. The burning of God, His love. Because that's the only thing that's going to bring us to this place. If I might use an old familiar passage to us. You all are aware of it, but if you might turn to Ephesians there for just a second. Let me begin in the 3rd chapter, 16th verse. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, that's not a small working. We can say it quickly. But let me just repeat it. To be strengthened To be strengthened, I must be exercised. I'm talking about spiritual things now. I'm not talking about the natural physical. I'm talking about that we are exercised. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, let's go on from there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You can't be rooted and grounded with love without having some understanding of it. Without it possessing you, without your life taking root down in it. And when it's taking root down in it, when you're abiding in the vine, the source of that love is not indwelling just in you, but it's the source that we're abiding in. He is love. And it goes on. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Oh, if we could just taste of that, because our knowledge stands in our way so often. Our natural thinking. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about knowledge. The love of God passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all of the fullness of God, impossible in your own thinking, but that's got what God said He's going to do. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. How are you going to do it? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in Him, unto Him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. An impossibility when we're only thinking in the natural. But I trust this morning that we're thinking in faith. Because if faith doesn't take a hold of this, because if you're looking at yourself, it's just like faith works in Abraham over there in the fourth chapter of Romans. It says, Abraham did not consider this old body that was 100 years old. By faith, he was strengthened. Glory. He did not consider his own self. He considered what? The promise of God. He considered God. God was able to do what he could not do. Was he going to do it separate from him? No. He took strength. By faith, he grew strong. Then the second thing he done over there, you read about that he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's mother. He did not consider others. He considered one thing. His heart was set upon one thing. And our hearts must be set upon one thing. We must believe that what God said He can do. That's not just for receiving the promise, even though that is what he's talking about here, because he was receiving the promise of a son that God had promised him. It's more than that. It's receiving what God said He would do in our lives, that He would bring us to the end, which is a completeness, not the end of things, and I just fade away. It's the beginning of things. For I am one with God. Completeness. That God is all in all. I know our natural minds can't conceive it. But unless we move on by faith to experience in some measure what God's provision is for us, we will never see it. It will never be something that we do not consider anything else, ourselves or others. Faith does not consider anything but what God said. God said He can make us one, is making us one. Is He going to force us? No, we all know that. He doesn't force you into anything. You must willingly submit. And it's more than just submission, beloved. In this relationship, there must be commitment. What am I committing? Because we're not talking about the natural man committing himself to God. We're talking about the man that has been regenerated by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now committing what? What God has worked in him. Committing that unto God. My relationship committed unto God. He's able to keep that. But God is working all of these things and will bring us to this, the climax, which is a few years off. Because we're going to be reigning with Him for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, when everything has come to an end, a new heaven and a new earth, God's going to be all and in all. I know. No, don't even try to imagine, because it's beyond our comprehension. But we can taste of it now. We can taste of what it means to be connected in a relationship because we have the same life. Moving together in fellowship because we are sharing in that life, a mutual sharing in the life. The spiritual association of those that have been made alive. Of course, spiritual association does not look to our own selves, but looks to serve, to give. Again, let me repeat, asking nothing in return. There's not even a flutter of our emotions when we get no thanks. We're giving. Nobody thanked Him when He went to the cross. Nobody was there praising Him. Nobody saying, "You're doing a good work." He went asking nothing. We have His life. And this morning He wants to bring us on into a greater understanding. Where we see the promise. To where that which He's working in us is something that comes to a fervency. Because of the burning of God within our very souls. We're not dead, we're alive. Moving with purpose. You've often heard me speak of that sloppy agape. It has no fervency in it. Nothing that lasts. It's only taking and encouraging each other and praising one another and patting each other on the back and giving each other self-esteem. But the real love of God comes and does not think of self. Thinks of others. That's the life you have. Don't think of yourself. You're thinking of Him. And then of course he brings us into this place to where we now have a fellowship, a sharing, a mutual sharing in the spiritual association with one another. Remember, it's pure. It's alive. It's truth. Truth is not facts. Sometimes we're so legal that everything's got to be just the way we think. We've got to dot the I and cross the T. Truth is a person. We've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've got to know the reality of what this is all about. And God is able to do that, is doing that, and has allowed us to come into and has opened the door to those that have not, to where we can now come and know a relationship with God, an intimacy with God. We're connected. Connected to God. We're part of the spiritual family. All dealing now. All back and forth is confined to the expression of love. Not your definition, God's definition. Who He is. And if we would keep this in mind, that all God's dealing in the body of Christ, in our association with each other, all of it is confined in that expression of love. Nothing is done in this connection that we have with spiritual life outside of love. Even though we do not fully understand the fullness of that, God is bringing us. We're growing in grace. We're growing in understanding. I don't think any of us could take it all at one time. And even when He breaks upon our hearts, sometimes we have to wait upon God for Him to break it to where we can feed upon it, mm-hmm. to where we can digest it, mm-hmm. to where it becomes part of us. It's not just in theory. It's not just in my mind. It's not in thoughts. It's part of me. It's life. So it takes time. It takes God's working. It takes that relationship with God. It takes walking in the light as He's in the light. It's coming to that place of purity. Will your mind move to a place that you can believe that God can make you pure and keep you pure? Not in what you do, what He can do. God is holy, and He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He doesn't tell you that outside of your relationship with Him. He knows you can't be pure outside of Him. But He also knows that you can be holy in Him. You can be pure in Him. It's not something that you jump in and out of. It's a relationship, because you have the life of God. You know, I know we don't stop and think and give any time to really meditate upon even relationship of what it really means. Because I believe that if we did, it would have an effect on the expression that we give. Our commitment to Christ, our commitment, because we have been made alive unto God, works out in our relationship with each other and in every area of the expression of our fellowship. If you're not committed, then you can tell it very easily. If you're committed, it's working out. It's working out. You're moving towards the same direction. We all go at different paces. There's no question about that. We grow. We're all not growing at the same pace, but we're growing. You can't be in the life of God and not be growing. You can't be in the life of God and not take steps of faith. You can't be in the life of God and be healthy without that fire burning, that fervency. May God take and light our whole inner being this morning with that fervency. That love that puts on fire. Love each other with a fervent love. When you pray, pray fervently. Come on, come alive. Now, all of us will have different expressions because we're all not the same. But as I said on the day of Pentecost, that flame spread. We'd think it's impossible to do anything with 120. God set the world on fire. The fire of His love. God hadn't changed His work. And if that love is not fervent love, then it's natural love. Because God's love is a burning within your very soul. In other words, this is not something that's in our minds. This is something that God has deposited within us. This temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord. Hallelujah. Breathe afresh upon us, Lord. Amen. Sometimes we just don't want to get excited. And I'm not saying that fire just excites us, but it puts a fervency in our relationship. Love each other fervently. Glory. God's burning. God's working in our hearts. Maybe you don't look for it to affect your relationship with each other, what's happening in your life. Maybe you're not really concerned with that. Maybe you just kind of put yourself in categories and this is the way you express yourself here, but Start to look at the whole. Start to look at what God's doing. Because if what God is doing does not affect you in every area of your life, something's wrong with your relationship. God doesn't affect us in one area, and then over here, our relationship with each other is just lukewarm. When that burning starts, it's a consuming. It's a uniting. It's making us one. We move with purpose. We move with singleness of purpose. We're in one accord. Do we know what it means to be in one accord? Huh? No, we don't. Until we get to a cause somewhere and we can all come to an agreement that we really need to see God move in this, and we become one in what we desire from God. But God wants us to be in one accord at all times. And that love will bring that. That fervency of His love will bring that to our expression. Our expression of who we are and what we are and what we do and what we think is very important. Because that's what people are picking up on when they come into contact with us. Is there a fire burning? And we're not talking about feelings. They come beyond that. But is there a fire? Is there a fervency? Because if there's no fervency, you're not taking steps towards it. You're just standing still. And if you're standing still, you're sliding backwards. God has called us to move forward. Walking in the light as He is in the light. I trust you've seen just a little bit this morning. I think I stayed, come alive all different times of the night. God speaking to my heart about His love, His fervency of His love. I just couldn't comprehend it all in one setting. So God would wake me up a little longer during the night and say, you know, this here. I say, beyond my comprehension, God. But I know You can do it. And I know You are doing it. And I'm not going to look at what I can do, and I'm not going to look at what others can do. I'm going to look at what You can do. Amen. And when we do that, it releases each other. And let me just say this in closing. Whether we understand this or not, you must be free in God. That freedom does one thing. It cements you to the will of God. It doesn't leave you free to do what you want to do. It cements you to the will of God. When I'm free in the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's perfect liberty. I am freed to do His will. Before that time, I was not free to do His will. But now, I'm freed into what He's doing. I'm free now to do His will. Do I have a choice? Each one of us has a choice. And you exercise your choice, I would say, thousands of times each day. We usually choose what we want. And we usually do what we want. But are we choosing what God wants? Are we doing what God wants? He has made you free to do that. That allows love allows you to choose beyond that which you want. To choose what He wants. Lord, are you hearing me? Free. Free from sin. Brought into the very realm of where God's effect is taking and changing us. God working, changing us. Greater than that which is in the world. That which is within you. And He's able to keep that which you have committed unto Him. We shouldn't have any fear this morning. We shouldn't be in bondage. We should be free. If you're not free, something's wrong. I'm talking about spiritual now. Spiritually free. I'm not talking about you're free now. Nobody's telling you what to do. Because you'll find that when you get free, God's telling you what to do. Before, you were telling you what to do. But when you're free in God, God's telling you what to do. That's freedom. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't know about you, but I like it. I said, hallelujah, I like it. When God's telling me what to do. Do I have to make a choice? Amen. I have to make a choice. I choose every day. Do you have to make another choice? Is it that hard? No, I chose to choose His will. Sometimes I'm a little slow for different reasons. Sometimes you may be a little slow. But have you chosen? Are you committed? Are you free? Are you free to do His will? Or do you think freedom is doing what you want to do? That's bondage. And we're prone. We're prone this way. Don't touch me. Don't affect me. I know what God wants. Just keep your distance. Don't tell me what to do. Love continues to give. Just like you heard that exhortation of Peter. It's almost 2,000 years old now. Love each other fervently. You choose. Because if you're a child of God, the fire is there. Is it burning? Or something else divided your thinking? Have you chose to let something else stimulate you? Or have you chose to let the fire of God, that love to burn and saturate your whole being? It allows us to really get another grasp on what love really means. When I find that I'm here for God. I'm here for others. I'm not here for myself. I know you're saying, oh me, oh me. It's not oh me. It's that word I use so many times. I can't give you the definition of it, but it expresses what I want to say. Glory. It's glory just to walk with Him. Because every day is a new experience. Experiencing what? Him. Saying, open the doors and close the doors. And He opens the doors that I'd probably close and shuts the doors that I'd probably open. And the same with all of us, probably. But when He opens, I choose to walk through it. You choose to walk through it. You have that ability this morning. God gives you the ability. He made man with the ability to choose. And He gives you the power. After you choose to make your choice, something that works something in you. He does that. And I praise Him this morning. I'm saying glory, glory, glory all along the way. And remember, we're not looking for strange fire. You know what happens with people that bring their own fire? You can work yourself up and you can shout hallelujah all you want to. You can bring your own fire and God will strike you dead. He will not accept strange fire. Never has and never will. He's not interested in what you can do for Him, but He has given the real thing. The real fire that comes from heaven. The real fire of the Holy Ghost burning within our souls. Praise Him. Glory.